this morning. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. I'm excited. Good morning, everybody. It is so exciting to be here. I'm just so blessed and honored and privileged to be able to share God's word with you this morning. So, as Steve said, I'm the young adult pastor here, and we actually meet here every Tuesday night. So if you're in between the ages of 18 to 32, 33, we are creating a place where you can experience God's love on a weekly basis, where you can meet people to walk with you and to share experiences and just live life together, sharing each other's burdens and loving one another. I was born in India. My parents moved here when I was about one, and I was raised up in church, and I grew up in the Bay Area. I went on to college at UC Merced. By the time I went to college, I started making some really bad choices, and I stopped following God, and I stopped believing, and I kind of lost my faith along the way. But God radically changed my life, and in His grace, He brought me out of that situation. And I started working at E-Trade Financial for about a year, and God started putting thoughts of full-time ministry in my heart. And I couldn't believe it. I just spent all these years in engineering, and I was in UC Merced. There was nothing to do there. So I really endured some life in those seasons. But God spoke to me very clearly, and I left my job, and I joined an internship program at Bethel Church San Jose, and I got credentialed and licensed through the Assemblies of God. And now I'm here. So it is so exciting to be with you this morning. I'm just so blessed and honored. Before we get started, I want to share with you one of our young adults. If you'd help me welcome her up, Nicole Concepcion. Could you guys give her a hand?
Church, I'm going to try to make this as short and sweet as possible.
And she's going to tell you how God has been using our Tuesday night group to impact her life. Go ahead.
Yeah, before I begin, I want you to actually look back in January where you were and kind of just think about that month. And why I'm asking you that is because in the beginning of every new year, we try to set up goals in our minds, and we set up these new grand ideas that the new year would start off with something great, right? Why? Because it's the new year. And so, unfortunately, that didn't really happen to me. My new year had started off in pretty much the wrong path. I was kind of pulled into what seemed like a really dark hole of depression, anxiety, and fear, and I had started to doubt my faith. Now, during that time where it was really intense and I probably didn't know how to get out, God, in all His goodness and love, saved me because He knows who we are. And if you are a child of God, He will come to you. And no matter how far you've gone, He will still come, or you'll find your way back. It's like the prodigal son. I mean, I'm a girl, daughter, but it's like that. And so during that time, I found myself, God, strategically placing me in positions and places of healing and back into the path of His way. And in one of those ways was coming into the young adults ministry. Now, so many times I actually did not want to go because I was so tired after work that it was the last thing on my mind.
Wow.
And Pastor Mike. I mean, if you didn't know that, no, I'm just kidding. But it was it. And there's been so many times I didn't want to go. I'm being honest with you, church. But there's been also those times that I actually chose to go and God had spoken to me. And coming into the church, we meet here on Tuesdays. And there's this one night that I'd gone in. I said, okay, I really don't want to be here today. I walked into the door. It's like, whoa, there's a lot of people. I was like, I was not expecting this. And when you walk into the presence of God, something changes. When you walk into His place, into His presence, like the hardness of my heart began to melt. Mm-hmm. Each time I would come, it would just change. And I was like, okay, God, I know it's You. And so that night, Pastor Michael was sharing the message of counterfeit God. And it was about how we make certain things or people idols in our lives. And I knew that from that night, God was speaking to me. And during the message, God just had His hand pressing on me and just telling me, I need You to cast those idols down. I need You to surrender that relationship. I need You to give me Your life back because I love You. And that night, I was so desperate to undo the shame, undo the lies that I've been believing in. And that's when God just kind of wrecked me. He tore me apart. And I'm not telling you like, oh, wow, like I made it through. It's uphill from here. But no, it's a journey with Jesus. And kind of like Peter, in that intense storm, Jesus called him out. It's like, Peter, come out. I need you to come out and step out of the boat and into this intense storm. And at that moment, I was like, okay, Jesus, I will trust you. And even if in that intense storm, God assures us that I will be with you. And that's kind of what young adult had done to me and Jesus and what stepping into the light, into the community of people and believers had done to me. So.
Amen. Amen. Great job. You can take the mic. Amen. God is doing amazing things in our young people, and it's such a blessing and honor to see people's lives change because of God's love. Before we get started, let's pray real quick. Jesus, wow, thank you so much for today, God. Thank you for another day with you. Thank you that you love us and you care about us and you're concerned with every detail of our life, Father. I just pray that you be with us today. I pray that you soften our hearts right now, Holy Spirit. I pray that my words fall down and yours come out of my mouth. And I pray that we'll be able to learn something and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the year was 2006 when I first discovered Korean barbecue. It was one of the best years of my life. And man, I had seen these pictures, like the fat marbled inside the ribs. It just looked so good. And then I found out it was a buffet. I could eat as much of it as I wanted. And it was this place that seemed heavenly to me. So me and my best friend, this was sophomore year in high school. I couldn't drive, but he could. So we decided, you know what, after finals, we're going to go to this lunch spot. And I had planned this for 2 weeks. I'm so excited. I finished my final. I didn't even know how I did, but it didn't matter because I was about to go get Korean barbecue ribs. So I get in the car, me and my boy Daniel. As soon as we're leaving, two girls walk by. Hey, guys, what are you doing? And before Daniel could answer, excuse me, ladies, thank you. We are just going to our lunch appointment, but it is so good to see you. We will see you guys next semester. All right, Daniel, let's go. And then Daniel is a lot nicer than I am. So he's like, oh, you know, we're going to Korean barbecue. I was like, oh, really? Have you heard of this new thing called pho? It's like soup and you could add your own meat and it's this new craze that's going around. And in my head, I'm thinking, yo, they have no idea what our plans are. Why would we exchange all you could eat meat for some liquid? And again, I said, ladies, yeah, pho, that sounds great. Shout out to you guys. Have a good lunch. We're going to go. They're like, yeah, you could even choose your own meat, Daniel. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Do you think Daniel wants to choose his own meat right now? Am I right, D? D? D wasn't with me that day. Daniel was thinking about pho. So we didn't go to Korean barbecue, and we end up going to pho, and I had liquid for lunch. This is my story. So I was so disappointed, and I was really sad, and I'm sure the same thing has happened to all of you guys at some level. Have you guys ever had an experience in your life where you were disappointed? And maybe it was something a little bit more serious than having pho as a disappointment. First world problems, I know, but let's be honest. There's nothing more guaranteed in our lives than disappointment. It's bound to happen. Disappointment occurs when our expectations are broken, whether they're broken by people, whether they're broken by our circumstances. Disappointment happens. And I was disappointed when I couldn't go to Korean barbecue, but what if you experienced something so much more difficult than that? Maybe you lost a job. Maybe your family's enduring hardship. Maybe you lost a loved one. How do you go about that situation? Because these are all very difficult circumstances to go through. And these wounds, they could be really deep. But through it all, we serve a God who is always faithful. We serve a God who is always with you. We serve a God who will never leave you through any of these situations. And he has the absolute best plan for your life every single moment. So I've got to ask you guys, Has God's word ever failed you? Have you ever found a time when God's word didn't hold true in your life? God's word never fails. It's eternal. It's active. It's alive. It always goes forth and it does what it's meant to be done. And it never returns void. And his promises, they hold true in every single situation. Even in the disappointment, even in your storm, even in your trial, God is always present and he's always faithful. You guys, we have the opportunity to be joyful in disappointment because God never fails us. But the choice is yours. How do you respond to disappointment? How do you respond when you find yourself in a really difficult situation? Today, I want to encourage you to respond with joy. James 1:2-4 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So in order to consider it pure joy, you've got to change your perspective. You have to look at your difficulty, your disappointment in a completely different lens. And instead of seeing it as a roadblock, you have to see it as an opportunity to be joyful because God is strengthening you through this process. And it may hurt now, and some days are easier, some days are harder, but through it all, God will give you all that you need. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." You got to realize that no matter what happens in life, God still has the absolute best plan for you. And because he's got the absolute best plan for us, we can look at our trials with joy because we know that God is working all things out for our good. And notice in verse 4, James chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Perseverance must finish its work before you are mature and complete." We can't be mature and complete if we just skip the trials. The trials, the disappointment, these are the things where we confide in God, and that gives us our maturity and completeness. The test is what gives us our perseverance, you guys. And after we go through every test, we have a testimony of how God was with us every step of the way. After we go through the mess, we have a message of how God never left us and he was on our side and I wasn't alone through it. Isaiah 43:2, it says this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned and the flames will not set you ablaze." Church, I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know where you're at in life. But I do know that God's word holds true for your situation. And you will not be burned this morning. You will not be burned this year. And God is constantly with you. And nothing will overtake you in this life because he is fighting your battles for you. And he is for you. And when God is for you, nothing can be against you. Amen? Amen. Guys, we need to realize that the difficulty in our lives is just a process that is necessary for our growth. Think of it as lifting weights. When you lift weights, your muscle fibers, they're torn. And as they get teared, when you're done lifting weights, they go through this process of rebuilding. And it's through this process of tearing and rebuilding that your muscles are strengthened. So the next time you try to lift that weight, your muscles are actually stronger. I don't know if I butchered this explanation, but if Mark is here, Mark Samaha, shout out to him. He'll explain it to you. In the same way, you guys, the difficulties that we go through in life, they may tear us down for a moment, but God is rebuilding us. God is using that process to rebuild us and to make us stronger so that the next time we face that, oh, I'll reface that. God already delivered me from that a year ago. I'm stronger now. And I know that since God brought me out of that situation, I can go through this situation because if he was faithful then he's still going to be faithful now, and he's still got the absolute best plan for me. He makes us even stronger than we were before. And I don't know about you guys, but I've prayed for God to take away my trials. And I've prayed, "God, if you could just remove this part, then everything in my life would be perfect." I didn't want to go through the trial. I didn't want to go to the disappointment, you guys. It's painful. It's not fun. It hurts. But if we don't walk with God through the process, we won't ever learn the things that he's trying to show us in those moments. It's through the trial that your character is strengthened. It's through the trial that we're reminded of how great our God is. It's through the trial that we're reminded who is ultimately in control. Because we know that God is in control, we could be joyful because he has our entire lives in his hand. So we don't have to fear. Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Guys, God will strengthen you and he will help you. There is nothing to fear in your situation. And the truth is, your response ultimately determines your future. How will you respond when life knocks you down? What are you going to do? You could try and rely on your own strength to fix your situation. You could pretend that everything is okay and just put on a mask and block out all emotions and just be numb to it all. You could run to your own form of medication, whatever that is. But I guarantee you one thing. Nobody will heal your heart like Jesus will. Amen. He knows what you're going through. Bring your disappointment, your pain, your sorrow, your sadness, and surrender it to God. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Guys, God wants to give you rest. He wants you to come to him. No wonder you're tired. No wonder you're stressed. You're carrying things that you were never meant to be carrying. Your shoulders aren't that strong to be carrying all that you're carrying, but God wants to help you, and he wants to be there for you, and he wants to give you rest because Jesus is your healer. And Jesus has to be the one that we run to. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Notice it says, "He will lift you up." I've tried to lift myself up before. It doesn't work. It never works. I've tried to work harder and harder and try to do more things, but I just end up even more exhausted than before. But as I humble myself before the Lord and allow him in complete surrender to take control of my life, then he lifts me up. It all starts with how you respond. You guys, can you imagine a life where whenever trials or disappointment came your way, that you wouldn't be knocked over, that you would be steadfast, that you would be fixed, that your foundation would still be in God? What if disappointment didn't derail your confidence in him? Where would you be? What would your life look like? You would be unshakable. You would have so much joy in your life. But how? How do we do that? How do we get to that point in life where we're steadfast, where we're unshakable, where we could have joy even amidst disappointment? Today I want to give you 3 disciplines to help you with that. The first one is to seek God. Seek God. Man, if you need joy right now, it doesn't come from life going well. Joy doesn't come from the absence of trials. That's not what it stems from. It doesn't stem from an emotion of being happy in the moment. It all stems from your intimacy with God. You have to look at the roots in your life. Joy is simply a fruit that is produced from the root. If you are desperate for joy, you must be rooted in Christ. It says this in Galatians 5:22-23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Guys, these are all simply byproducts of living in God's Spirit. Your joy is directly tied to your intimacy with God. When you don't have joy and patience and peace and all these other things, it's simply an indicator that something needs to change in your life. My dad, he was driving and he got the check engine light on his car. And he ignored the check engine light. Out of all the lights to ignore, how do you ignore the check engine light? I don't know. But my dad, he ignored the check engine light. And you can only imagine what can happen when you do something like that. My dad, he didn't need to imagine because while he was on the freeway, his car shut off. And his car just stopped working mid-freeway. Praise the Lord, he's okay. But let's just say that instantly he took his car to the mechanic and got it fixed. Church, if you find yourself running low on joy, if you're not having peace in the storm, that's a good indicator that it's time to check the engine of your life. And it's time to take it to the shop and give it to the only person who is able to fix it, and that's Jesus. You guys, we need to prioritize our time with God and get in his presence. God is near, and he wants you to seek him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. God wants you to draw near to him, church. He wants to be involved with your life. He cares about you. He loves you. He is compassionate. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is what Jesus says. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You guys, who else to be yoked with but Jesus? It's easy. His burden is light. And I hate to say it, you guys, we're not that strong. Why spend another day trying to overcome things in our own strength? It's always been God who gives us strength. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And we're not that strong. We are all broken, hurting humans. We're all in a desperate need of a Savior who could restore us. And who else but Jesus? What else can we turn to in this life? What else has the answers? Our friends don't have the answers. Family, social media, they don't have the answers. This world doesn't have the answer. But God does. And it's time that we seek him because he's working all things for our good. The second way to overcome is this. We need to surrender our feelings to God. Surrender your feelings to God. What do I mean? When disappointment comes, we go through a wide variety of feelings. Sadness, disappointment, shame, rejection, frustration, depression. And these are legitimate feelings, but we don't need to be controlled by them. And I want to encourage you guys, in those moments when you feel those things, bring those feelings to God. Bring your sadness so that God could heal these deep wounds in your life. If we ignore the pain and we never get healed from these things, we can end up living a life full of depression, bitterness, addiction, and it could lead us just finding new ways to medicate ourselves. And those medications, they just temporarily alleviate the pain. They just block the symptoms, but they never cover down the root issue. Only God can heal a broken heart, you guys. And it's only God who could restore you in those moments of pain and frustration. It's only God who could restore you. David said this, Lord my God, I called to you for help. And you healed me. You healed me, Jesus. You are my healer. You're the only one who's healed me. It's not the absence of sadness that gives us joy. It's experiencing God's reassurance through the sadness that gives us joy. Amen. King David, he understood this so well. In so many Psalms, we see that David, he poured out his feelings to God. He says, Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy. Turn my wailing into dancing. Notice it doesn't say how long this process took. It didn't say if it takes a day. It didn't say if it takes years. But look how it ends with joy. It could take a day. It could take a year. But regardless, it's only God who could heal a broken heart. It's time to trade in your feelings for God's comfort. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Sean, can you please come up? I'm about to close with this last point. Third one, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. You guys, there are two times to worship. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. You got to keep worshiping God. You got to keep rejoicing in him every single time. You got to praise God even when it hurts. Whatever you have, even if it's just a thank you, Jesus, and you're super off key and it's the end when everybody could hear you and everyone notices you, it's okay. You're praising God and you're rejoicing in your own way because there's power in your praise. when Paul and Silas, they were beaten, they're whipped, they're thrown in prison. But what did they do? Amidst all of that, being bloody and in a horrible situation, suffering, they still found a way to praise God. And what happened? The foundations of the prison were shaken. Chains were broken all around in that prison door because there's power in your praise. Church, you got to understand, when you're going through something, keep rejoicing. Keep believing God's promises are true, even if nothing's adding up. Because you know that God works all things for your good. And He's faithful and He's always with you and He's never going to leave you. He's always by your side. So we're just going to keep singing because praise, it does something. It takes the focus off of yourself. It makes you less self-conscious and puts the focus on God. It makes you God-conscious. What better way to go through life than being God conscious? My eyes are fixed on Jesus, so I can't see my storm right now, but I can see His goodness. I can see His faithfulness. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm so sad. I feel so broken. But let me fix my eyes on Jesus, because guess what? He was broken too. He was broken too. He was beaten. He was bruised. And He was crucified. Paid the price for our sins so we could be forgiven and have eternity with Him. Guys, we could have eternal joy. This world is broken. We're broken. We're hurting. But through it all, God is with us and God is for you. And God has the absolute best plan for your life. And truly, when you fix your eyes on Jesus and you praise Him, even when it hurts, you could have joy amidst this disappointment. You can focus on God's goodness, because if God did it before, guess what? He'll do it again. Church, you have the power to overcome. There is power in the name of Jesus. And the same Spirit that conquered the grave, He lives in you. And God is always with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And His promises hold true in every situation. It's the way that we respond. Choose joy. Choose joy. We can overcome. Seek God. Surrender your feelings. And rejoice in the Lord always. Will you bow your heads with me? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Guys, I just want to pray for you. Today you may feel that you're going through a really difficult situation. You may be going through disappointment and a trial, and you don't know what to do. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. The world can't give you this rest. Only Jesus can. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and you've been listening to me talk about Him, and you want a relationship with Him, if that's you, nobody's looking around, everybody's eyes are closed, but if you want to start a relationship with Jesus this morning, would you just slip up your hands? This is just between you and God. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. It's the most important decision that you can make. Because God loves you, and He cares for you, and He wants to give you rest. Anybody else, one last time, want to start a relationship with Jesus? Thank you. This morning, if you've been going through a really difficult situation, you guys, we've been focusing on Love Does. So we want to help you with that. If you're going through something and you don't know how to handle it, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Because we're all a family here and we care about you deeply and we're concerned about you and we want to walk this life with you. If you're going through something difficult, would you just stand up to your feet? And I don't ask this to embarrass you. I just ask this so that you can have people around you to support you. And as you stand up, we're going to have people place their hands on you and pray for you as I pray for you. So would you just stand up to your feet? Yeah, there's people over there. Church, can we just find someone who's standing up and just place your hand on them as we get ready to pray for them? There's people all over this place. If you see someone near you, just put an arm on them. And we're going to pray because there's power in our prayer. And we know that God is with us and He's always faithful. And He's walking with us every situation. But guess what? He brings people who love you to walk with you through these situations. So let's pray. Jesus, we just lift up everybody who needs encouragement this morning, everybody who's going through a storm, everybody who's going through disappointment, God. And God, I just ask that you touch their hearts and their lives. Father, remind them that you're working all things for their good. Remind them that their life is ultimately in your hands. Who else can we put it in but you, Jesus? There is none but you. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you give them peace in the storm. God, I pray that they'll be able to focus their eyes on you, Jesus, to shift their mind from everything that they see and fix it onto Jesus, who's got the absolute best thing for their life, God. I pray that we draw near to you, God, throughout the week. I pray that we seek you. I pray that we surrender our emotions, our feelings. I pray that we rejoice in the Lord because you are working all things for our good, God. We love you, Lord. We need you. And we thank you, God. Thank you for being gracious enough to bring us through these difficulties because we know that you're strengthening our character. And we can put our hope in you, a hope that will not be shaken, a steady anchor for our soul, and we can fix our eyes on you, Jesus. We love you. We come before you this morning. God, we ask that you move on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As you're...
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.